and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of November 5th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and I don't know what, Melissa Hansen.
Oh, I don't know either. If anybody has the answer to that, let me know. I've been asking that for years.
Oh, I'm usually so good about this, and I drew a complete blank. So, how has your week in entertainment been?
So, last weekend I actually watched a zombie horror film.
Which is unusual for you.
Which is unusual for me. Any kind of horror is usual. But it's called Zombies. With 3 A's and 3 exclamation points, but one of the exclamation points is after the ah part. So if you're looking it up, there you go. It's also called Wasting Away. I think that was the original title, and maybe a DVD stuff, whatever. They changed it to, I don't know why. But anyhow, it was good. It was funny. You know, kind of nasty, but it's got a twist on it. We see stuff from the zombies' perspective.
Oh.
But they don't know they're zombies. They think everybody else is infected.
Oh, jeez.
Everybody else is moving in fast motion.
Okay.
Because they're like the slow moving, you know.
Gotcha.
Kind of zombies. Hence the title. No, it's pretty good. I think Mike Rubino reviewed it for the site.
Oh, all right.
And, I watched it on streaming. I watched it on Netflix, but it's out on DVD too. And I think I actually liked it a little bit more than him.
Oh.
Which is unusual. But no, it's a different twist. You know, it's got something to it. And it stars Michael Grant Terry.
I don't know who that is.
Fans of Bones will recognize.
Oh.
He plays Wendell, one of Bones' assistants. She's got like... I don't even know how many at this point, like 4 different assistants, and they kind of rotate, like one of them's on every week.
Hmm.
It's a really interesting choice. But anyhow, you'll recognize him from that. And also, he just did a run on Grimm.
Ah.
I just saw him, and I'm like, oh, it's that dude.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a cute, it's funny, it's really well done. I mean, it's a lower budget. It's not an indie.
Okay.
It's a lower budget with... you know, more unknown of a cast. But they did a really, really good job. And yeah, it's a really interesting take on it.
Nice.
So yeah, if you're into that kind of thing, which is very specific, isn't it?
Yes.
Zombie horror comedy.
Yeah.
If that's your thing, no, really check it out. Yeah, it's a fun movie.
Have you gotten into Walking Dead yet?
I have not.
No, I haven't either.
Because it's totally not my thing.
Yeah.
But I know so many people that like it, so I may check that out.
Yeah, I know the first 2 seasons are on Netflix right now.
Yeah, now that it's available streaming.
Yeah.
It's on my list. I'm hesitant, but I'm sure I'll eventually give in.
Yeah, and I guess season 3 is really killing it. So for myself, I did not get to the theater this week, and I'm really disappointed because Frankenweenie has now disappeared from the theaters and has already gotten a DVD.
That's why I saw it when I did, because I knew as soon as Halloween came and went, it would be gone.
I'm very upset. But
yeah.
It will be, before the end of the year, it will be out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah, and that's a fine way to watch it.
Yeah. I know. I just like seeing things in the theater.
Yeah.
But Shout Factory sent over this Mel Brooks collection. It's called The Incredible Mel Brooks. Now, this isn't his movies, because Fox... Oh. Owns, I think Fox owns the rights to the majority of his films.
Okay, so what is it?
So it's a 5-disc collection of incidental Mel Brooks material. One disc is a CD that has all the music from his movies, all of the John Morris compositions.
Nice.
Yeah, which is worth its weight in gold, in my opinion.
Yeah.
On its own. Created for this is a brand new 5-part documentary in which... the Shout Factory folks went over to Mel's office in Los Angeles and sat down with him to talk about each. What's that?
It's a new thing.
It's brand new.
Wow.
And he's really aging rapidly, which is disappointing to see. Because Anne Bancroft, his wife, has been gone for a while now. She passed away several years ago. But
really, it's been that long.
It's been a long time. But they sit down and talk about each one of his films. So he... I think each segment of this, there's 5 segments, and each one's at least a half an hour long. And it's fascinating to go back. I mean, because everybody knows about Blazing Saddles and some of the stories surrounding that, Young Frankenstein. But going back to the producers, I didn't know that Zero Mostel, before he started filming The Producers, was hit by a bus.
Oh.
And had some severe permanent leg damage, so that was making it very difficult for them to get through an entire day.
Oh, wow.
The 12 Chairs, which I had seen on cable a long time ago. It used to play on HBO all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I had forgotten that Frank Langella was in it.
And oh, okay.
A very young, pre-Dracula Frank Langella.
Yeah.
But it just ticks off each of his movies. Now, I gave up on Mel after... Once we got to Spaceballs,
yeah,
it was his film stuff. Was like, oh, God, I don't want to see this. I didn't like Robin Hood, Men in Tights. I didn't like Dracula, Dead and Loving It. So I'm interested to see his take on those films. I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Okay. Yeah, it will be. Because, yeah, there's definitely the old stuff and the new stuff. There's definitely a line there.
Yeah. Other stuff that's included on this, there's a retrospective that he did in 2010. It was a sit-down conversation with Dick Cavett on stage in front of a large group of people.
Okay, wow.
There's clips from all of his appearances on The Tonight Show. There's a retrospective on Your Show of Shows, which was the Sid Caesar series that he wrote for, that he and Woody Allen and Larry Gelbart and all these, Carl Reiner.
I don't think I even knew that. Wow.
Yeah. So it's just this amazing club. There's a 60 Minutes interview that he did with Mike Wallace right before the Producers opened on Broadway.
Cool.
It's this amazing collection of stuff that you would not have seen, that you may have caught in other places, but to be a Mel Brooks fan and to have this all in one spot and to have this 48-page book of information that's in there as well, it's just it's an amazing piece of...
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, and it'll make a great Christmas gift as well. So if you're looking for stuff and you have a Mel Brooks fan in your life, this is definitely something you want to get. Streets, November 13th.
Okay.
From Shout Factory.
Very neat.
Yeah. So, since neither one of us got to the box office, let's look and see what's going on over there, which I'm scratching my head looking at some of these numbers.
Yeah, okay. So over 49 million, number one, was Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay, Disney animated film coming up on Thanksgiving.
It's surprising that it, you know, was number one. That's not shocking, but almost 50 million. Number two was Flight with 25 million. So double. That's a huge gap.
Right, so this is Bob Zemeckis, who did Back to the Future, starring Denzel Washington. They have promoted the hell out of this film.
Yeah.
And all it pulls in is 25 million.
Yeah, but in recent, that's not bad. That's what number one has been being, even less than that.
That's true.
But it's, but just that from one to two, it's like double, whatever. Argo's hanging in there at number three, which is over 10 million.
Yeah.
The Man with the Iron Fists, just over 8 million.
Which is the Quentin Tarantino produced RZA, who is a member of the original Wu-Tang Clan. This is his directorial debut. Yeah. And it's not gotten very good reviews.
So, but people are looking for that action stuff in the midst of all the kids stuff.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, then we have Taken 2, number 5, which is 6 million.
Okay.
But that's, you know, obviously doing quite fine overall.
Right.
So, and then, yeah.
Now, here's what's troubling me. Cloud Atlas is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 at $5.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
5.2. So far, this movie has grossed $18.3 million in 2 weeks.
Nothing.
This movie was a $100 million budget film.
Shit.
From the Wachowskis, backed by Warner Brothers. This was an event picture. The theaters now, theater owners, it's gone from being in like three different theaters to one theater only playing like midday and early evening.
That's really sad.
I don't know what happened here.
Unbelievable.
This is an amazing film that forces you to think about a whole heck of a lot of things, and nobody is going to see it.
Well, there we go. You just answered your own question. Forces you to think. Who wants that?
I don't know. Maybe this is a signal to the studios that these big budget epic pictures
sucks.
Are no longer...
Sucks.
Yeah, viable.
Because this is good stuff. And we pay money, and you know, I watch crap movies a lot.
We all do.
You know, I understand the place for like a popcorn action and whatever, but when we just, that's all we watch.
Yeah.
That's just sad that there's not room for something like this.
I don't know. This is a bigger disaster than John Carter for Disney was.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. Well, next week, there's only one movie of note to talk about, and that's James Bond Skyfall.
Yeah, exactly. It's, what other movie would you want to talk about?
Right. The film has already grossed $300 million overseas.
Jeez.
And wow. It hasn't even opened here in the States yet.
Wow.
Yeah. And as we mentioned, the Daniel Craig and the screenwriter have been signed for 2 more Bond pictures.
Yay!
But I have a feeling that may make Wreck-It Ralph look paltry by comparison.
Oh, yeah. This is, yeah. I can give you the list for next week right now if you want it.
The amazing Kreskin here predicting the box office for next week.
I think Skyfall might win it. By a lot.
All right. Well, after you go to the box office and you want to see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray, you can head over to DVDverdict.com, click on the DVD releases tab, and look at the cover art gallery for June. I almost said June. How wishful thinking is that for November 6th? This week, the one big thing is Amazing Spider-Man, which is a film that was far better than it had any right to be. Nobody was expecting this to be.
Right.
Well, at least I wasn't expecting this to be anything more than what Sam Raimi had already done.
Yeah, and some people I really, respect their opinion. I did not catch it because I was really on the fence, and then I thought I would see it, and I just ended up not making it out.
Yeah.
But for just really amazing things. So I'm definitely going to catch it.
It's a really interesting take. Sally Field is Aunt May, and Martin Sheen is Uncle Ben, and you've got Emma Stone in there. Reese Ifans is the Lizard. Now, the story is that Jamie Foxx is in talks to play the villain in the next film.
Very cool.
Which is the villain being Electro, which is one of Spidey's arch nemesis of all time.
Yeah, very cool. But for this one, if Clark reviewed it for us.
Yeah.
Blu-ray, and it's a great review. And he had the opinion that a lot of people had.
Okay.
You know, kind of not expecting it, but how great it is. Yeah. So, So if you're on the fence, check out Clark's review about it.
Yeah, definitely. Other releases of note, They Live, the cult classic horror slash thriller starring Rowdy Piper. Guys and Dolls, Brando and Sinatra together singing on screen in Blu-ray for the first time. And then we've got a slew of Christmas stuff. So we've got The Muppets Christmas Carol, Disney's Prep and Landing, which is fantastic. If you've not seen either one of these specials.
Yeah, and they're coming out with more. The Prep and Landing, they keep doing like one a year now.
Really?
Yeah.
So brilliant. So brilliant. Arthur Christmas, Kung Fu Panda Holiday, SpongeBob Christmas.
Oh my.
Two for the senior or the adult set. You've got a Carol Burnett Christmas special. And Dean Martin Christmas special.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, vintage stuff. Now, here's where I'm scratching my head again. Sesame Street Christmas, 1978.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Christmas Eve on Sesame Street.
Oh, no. Okay, that's the one I know.
Same here. It's a that thing makes me cry every time I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Same year. This is Oscar the Grouch getting a Dickens Christmas Carol treatment.
Ah.
Courtesy of Leslie Uggams as Marley.
Oh, okay.
Anne Murray, Imogene Coca, and Dick Smothers as the ghosts.
Nice.
With appearances by Ethel Merman, Henry Fonda, and a young Michael Jackson.
Hello.
I have never seen this.
I haven't. That is not ringing a bell.
This is an Emmy Award-winning primetime special from 1978, and I have never seen it.
Wow.
Over at Netflix this week, a handful of stuff. Casa de mi Padre. Will Ferrell does Spanish language Western comedy.
Those words just don't go together.
No, not at all. More odd words. Flowers of War. Christian Bale does Chinese war drama. Lockout. Guy Pearce as an action hero. It's just like weird juxtapositions of things here.
All right, then.
And then for those of you who are into teen paranormal romance, we've got Teen Wolf Season 2 on MTV.
Talk about specific genre there.
Right. over at Hulu, more cult classic stuff. Arnold Schwarzenegger's major cinematic flop, The Last Action Hero. Another cult classic, Heathers, with Christian Slater.
Which, I was just going to mention, because I was flipping through, and Hulu does, like, their main screen has, like, I don't know what, five, like, the latest episodes or the new movies or something.
Yeah.
Like, recommendations. And I came on, and Heather's popped on, and I went, oh, holy shit, Heather's is in Hulu. We're like, watch it, watch it. And I did. I watched it right away.
Oh, nice.
So I just watched Heather's this weekend.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And it still holds up, right?
Oh, yeah. It's classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Two original horror classics, Hellraiser and Children of the Corn, and then the Incredible Hulk TV series with Bill Bixby, but the movies that they did after the series was finished.
Okay, they did that a lot.
Yeah, so there were two of them. It's The Incredible Hulk Returns and The Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
But that's all I've got, and I'll throw it over to you for television.
All right. Well, Monday night, HBO has a new series. It's a documentary series. It's called Witness. And each week, photojournalists go to, like, combat zones.
Ooh.
And document all the atrocities.
Wow.
So it's not really a feel-good thing, but important stuff.
Yeah.
To watch. And speaking of atrocities, on Bravo on Monday night, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills returns. So, and then Tuesday night, it's election coverage on every single channel except CW.
And Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, gosh. I'm staying off. Yeah. I am staying off everything. Yeah. I'm off the grid Tuesday night, if you please.
And they say that it's going to go well into the night before they make any announcements. So.
Well, I'm sure they'll make predictions all night long, but whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm waiting. Yeah. For final on this. And I don't need to hear. Okay. Anyhow. Wednesday nights, Bravo again, Top Chef, and they're in Seattle this time. Mm. So if that's your version of reality, you will be happy this week. Music this week, we got some interesting stuff coming out. Aerosmith, new album.
Oh,
new
wow. Music.
Music from Another Dimension. So I'm glad Steven Tyler is off American Idol and he's got some time to do what he does best.
Yeah.
Neo has a new one. It's called R.E.D. And that's out this week.
Wait, isn't Taylor Swift's new album called Red?
Yeah, but this is R.E.D.
It just seems weird that they would do that. But yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Anyhow. So I don't know. Maybe not like he needs to cash in on her, which her album is doing like insane blockbusters. So, and then ready for this, Dionne Warwick. It's called Now, and it's new versions of her old stuff.
Really?
Plus, new songs by Burt Bacharach.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This is kind of cool. I'm sure some people are rolling their eyes, but I think it's pretty neat.
Damn.
Yeah, so that is out. And then in the soundtrack department, Skyfall, which is Thomas Newman.
Yeah.
And then Adele's beautiful song for that. And Glee, the music, presents Grease. They're doing a Grease-based episode. And so there's a whole album just with those songs.
I gave up on that show. I have not watched any of it since last season. Sure.
I haven't looked at the ratings, but I'm sure quite a few people have. Because I dealt with Rachel. Like, I liked Glee despite of Rachel. And now I don't need to see her anymore.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
The whole transit. I think it hasn't totally blown up in their face. The whole transition.
Yeah.
But I don't get to see the characters I love.
No.
Or barely get to see the characters I love. And I get to see Rachel all the time. And so that's just not even remotely appealing to me.
I think this is another case of where British television wins out by quitting when you're ahead.
Yes.
You know, short seasons, do your best, and then walk away.
Yep. All right. In books this week, still talking about television here, because we have Kirstie Alley, a memoir from her called The Art of Men. I prefer mine al dente.
Jeez, I saw a quote from her that she still feels that John Travolta is the love of her life.
Okay. I'm sure his wife is happy to hear. Don't know. All right. But anyhow, and I picked this one out just for you.
Yeah.
It's by Herbie Pilato. Okay. But it's called Twitch Upon a Star. Do you know where this is going?
No.
The Bewitched Life and Career of Elizabeth Montgomery.
Oh, wow.
He actually interviewed her.
Shut up.
Sat down and did actual interviews. This isn't just some unauthorized thing, you know, somebody's catching in. I know he did a whole bunch of interviews with her, and he's finally releasing the book about it.
And this is, she has a fascinating story because she's, you know, you see Samantha Stevens on Bewitched in this wholesome image, and there was a lot more to Elizabeth Montgomery than that.
Yeah, yeah. So anyhow, that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Book. Speaking of music from before, Marvin Makes Music. It's a book by Marvin Hamlisch.
Oh.
But it's a children's book about a little boy named Marvin who likes music. Oh. So.
And he's gone now, too.
Yeah. So, very interesting. Hmm. There. And then, let's go to food fans, big foodies. Frontera, Margarita, Guacamoles, and Snacks. It's by Rick Bayless, who's a top chef, but he's from Chicago.
Yeah, that name, but I was going to say, that name sounds familiar.
He has a bunch, and that's the name of one of his restaurants. He has a few restaurants in Chicago, but that's the name of one of his restaurants, Frontera Girl. And then he has products out in grocery stores.
Ah.
After that, but yeah, he's really famous, and he has a PBS show and stuff, but he's an authority on Mexican food.
Huh.
Anyhow. So that, and then TV fans might want to check out 666 Park Avenue by Gabriella Pierce, which they're re-releasing. It's the novel that the TV show is based on.
Oh.
Which I read, I've seen the TV show, I read the synopsis of the book,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, they totally changed it.
Oh, okay.
But anyhow, fans of the show, I know there aren't many out there, because I don't think that one's lasted much longer, but can check out that book. And then, theater and music fans will either be pleasantly surprised or horrifically upset.
Uh-oh.
Chicago in New York at the Ambassador Theater has been running, but they are getting a new Billy Flynn.
Okay.
Starting this week. Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I think he could be okay.
Oh, boy. So,
we'll see. So fans of his are going to head to New York because that only runs till Christmas. So he's just got like a month and a half run on that one.
Wow. So. All right. Well, the big entertainment news of this past week was George Lucas selling Lucasfilm to Disney for $4 billion.
Yes.
So two other stories.
That's a B. Let's make that clear.
Yes. With a B. And let's also make it clear that this man has no debt. So there's nothing to pay off. That is all liquid assets that's coming in.
And that is all going to charity.
This is the story that came out. So he's setting up a foundation that's going to filter all of that money into educational initiatives.
How freaking cool. Now, I think that's amazing that he's doing that.
Yeah.
Then again, what are you going to do with $4 billion when you already have?
Exactly.
Probably that much. I mean, again, when you're as rich as he has to be, like, adding more to it really doesn't matter. You're never going to spend what you have.
No.
But I don't know. I think this is interesting. And, I know people in industry and, you know, somebody, a friend of a friend who was in, like, the effects, special effects industry. And, you know, the concern is that Disney can just do whatever they want now. Lucasfilms was the only thing big enough to kind of keep Disney in check.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Star Wars. And
well, and that was the other big announcement that came out, and they're now going to start releasing a new Star Wars film every 3 years starting in 2015.
Yeah. So that will be interesting to see, but it will also be interesting to see how it changes the industry.
Yeah.
And how it changes special effects in this country, because they've been saying, and I can't remember who it was, but people from Disney and stuff are saying, like, the future isn't even in the U.S. with this.
Okay.
That they're taking it overseas and stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how it changes the industry, especially special effects.
Well, it is true because Industrial Light and Magic, which is Lucasfilm's visual effects arm, has set up places, I want to say, in Singapore and Shanghai. That's where their offices
already been going. But, I mean, that's still so based here. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what it does to the movies and characters, but it'll also be interesting to see the effect this has on the general industry.
Well, and my first gut reaction when I heard this was Disney has always been, it'd been rumored that Disney's talking about building another theme park in Florida. Now, here you have Star Wars, Indiana mm-hmm. Jones, and all the Marvel Comics characters.
Yeah.
You could create something that's going to rival Universal's Islands of Adventure, and that it's going to completely blow away the Harry Potter thing that they've got down there.
Right. So, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. House of Mouse, getting stronger every day. Speaking of Disney, the Muppets, which Disney owns. Now, don't say that to Jim Henson Productions, because I did that one time, and their PR woman jumped down my throat. They just
they've licensed
the Muppets characters.
Got it.
They don't own them.
Got it.
So, anyways. So the Muppets sequel, from the same creative team that gave us the Muppets, the last one, are set to begin filming in London in January.
Okay. That's the Jason Segel one.
Yeah, but Jason's involvement is very minimal compared to... Yeah.
Okay.
The plot is going to mirror The Great Muppet Caper, because the plot for this first one kind of mirrored the Muppet movie. This one's going to be a kind of a mystery heist set in Europe with Christoph Waltz playing the bad guy.
Nice.
Yeah. It just went into the press that advance tickets for The Hobbit go on sale this week.
Aye, aye.
And like Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight, New Line is also selling tickets for a marathon of the Lord of the Rings extended editions that will play before The Hobbit.
Oh, good Lord. How long do you have to sit in a seat?
So it's about 12 hours. So ooh, it's 9 hours of the original films and then another 3 of the new film.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of franchises, the new season of Doctor Who begins with, I should say the second half of season 7, series 7, begins with the Christmas episode where we get to meet slash re-meet the Doctor's new companion, because we got to meet a version of her in the first episode of season 7. The second half is going to consist of 8 episodes, though we don't have an official start date. They still have 5 weeks left of filming as of today. And Neil Gaiman has turned in what promises to be yet another brilliant script.
I was just going to say he was up late the night before cutting 5 pages, and he only cut 4.
Oh, wow.
So, I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
So very interesting and lots of information. He's a really great person to follow. But yeah, I'm so psyched for it.
Yeah, and that rumored crossover between the Doctor and Sherlock Holmes, never going to happen. Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss said they despise the idea and they will never allow it to happen.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Other TV news, just to round this out, Community has finally gotten a return date for February.
Aye, aye, aye.
Thank God. Gossip Girl ends its merciless run on December 17th with a 2-hour finale. Fringe ends its series with a 2-hour finale in January. USA Network has canceled Fairly Legal, which I think you liked that show, didn't you?
I did. I watched first season. I haven't kept up with it.
Okay.
But no, those are pretty. I think all their shows are pretty good.
They are pretty solid, but yeah. I guess it just wasn't getting the ratings.
Fit in there. It was just a good, solid one with the rest. So That's a little surprising. Too bad.
And one more note from Disney: Corey and Topanga are coming back to the Disney Channel.
Like, how cool is this?
As their daughter is set to undergo the ritual of adolescence in a series that is probably going to be called Girl Meets World.
I'm sorry. This is really cool. This is just really, really cool. It's like the Degrassi thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, bringing them back. Some of the characters are adults, but focusing on their children.
Right.
So they ended up with Degrassi. Yeah, so I'm not putting this in the same category as Degrassi.
But there will be no Mr. Feeny.
I'm slightly excited.
Yeah.
Just very, very sad. I'm 40 and I'm very excited. All right.
Well, that's all I've got. What have you got for?
Okay. Well, I want to toss out another quick Amanda Bynes.
Oh, no.
Because we had been. I don't know. I may start changing my end thing and just do train wreck people instead of Kardashians.
Yeah.
But anyhow, now this is a story came out that because she's in New York now being crazy instead of California being crazy, but she was at a tanning salon and she walked out in the lobby naked and was out of it. But she's denying it, and she's suing the people that said it, whatever. But here's the best. She, like, here's a quote to U.S. Weekly she gave. "I'm not troubled. I don't get naked in public. I'm 26, a multimillionaire, retired. Please respect my privacy." "I'm 26, a multimillionaire, retired." Oh, you're also stupid.
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah. And I love the retired, because this came out. She, like, announced her retirement at whatever it was, 22 or something. And then she came back and did work.
Yeah.
So, who knows? But anyhow, yeah. Just wanted to mention Miss Amanda and keep you all up with her.
Oh, boy.
She's my favorite train wreck of the day.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Well,
so,
and on that note.
All right. Well, Kardashians, really quick.
Okay.
I still have Kardashians. There's plenty of train wrecks out.
All right.
Around. So Kardashians have a million and two products. They put their name on anything. But, you know, they change the name and do it with a K. Anyhow, they have makeup line coming out. And it's Chroma with a K.
Uh-huh.
Kind of thing. Well, there's already a Chroma with a C makeup company.
Ooh.
And they're suing them over the name. Mm. And there's already Chroma with a K but without the H makeup company.
Ooh.
Who's, like, suing them now.
Okay.
So we'll see how this all plays out and if you get to wear Kardashian makeup.
Well, so, see, and there's the arrogance, right? That you don't even bother to go and do any trademark search to see if it's going to cause any problems.
Yeah, and just the fact that they think, and of course they're like, oh, well, you know, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
We can do whatever we want.
Uh-huh.
Because they kind of can.
Guess what? That train is about to come to a grinding halt.
Oh, yes. Sooner or later, I just not believe it hasn't been sooner.
Right.
So anyhow, there's your Kardashian tidbit.
Okay, and on that very small bombshell, we will wrap it up for this week. And I think we're taking next week off, correct?
No.
Oh. I thought you were traveling next week.
I am. But, I'm going to leave our fans hanging.
Oh.
How will they make it another week without me? I will pull through.
Yeah, all right. There you have it.
Find a way for you people.
Okay, so we will see you next week. In the meantime, you can check out all our reviews at DVDverdict.com. And our holiday gift guide will be forthcoming, loaded with all sorts of interesting things for you to fill your Christmas list or Hanukkah list or Kwanzaa list with. But until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Now I'm trying to wake you up, to pull you from the liquid sky. Because if I don't, we'll both end up with just your song to say goodbye.